This is RSBNB Update, episode 463, recorded May 2nd, 2014. My arm is tired. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for this episode of RSBNB Update. This week, it's just me and Treckles.
Treckles?
Yeah, I figured that would be a new one that we could highlight in terms of what we like to call you and everything like that. So, anyways.
Okay, thanks, Shan.
Oh, no, please no.
Hey, you started it, I'm going with it.
Please don't call me that, anybody who is listening. That is not something that you should be calling me. It's one of my least favorite nicknames. Anyways, so how have you been? Glad to be here?
Sure, I'm hot as hell, but I'm good.
Oh, heat wave?
No, just getting ready for summer here.
Lucky you. I know the grass and whatnot is actually just starting to get green here right now. Second day of May.
If you want to donate some snow, be my guest.
Oh, it's all gone. It's all gone. But I will be sure to send some your way one day. Because, I mean, snow is just such an interesting thing. And for me, it's a defining part of me and where I live. And I don't think I would be able to be myself if there was no snow, because the whole first snow of the year and the act of getting rid of it and spring and everything is all part of me. And you know, I haven't built a snowman in quite some time, but actually my dad did build a snowman this year, a Montreal Canadiens playoff snowman.
Did he accept saying I'm sorry?
No, why would he do that?
Okay, come on, Shane. Let's talk about the game.
Yes, we should talk about RuneScape, since that's what we're here to talk about. So this week's primary update is the Master Skill Capes that you get when you reach level 120, or the fictitious 120 of around 104 million experience gained. So, first off, what do you think of these? How do they look?
They look okay. They just look a little bit darker, to my opinion.
Yeah, of course, more detailed, because this is something coming out in 2014, when the original skill capes came out. The modeling of RuneScape models really wasn't that great. So, I mean, they can, of course, put more stuff on these now, and more detail into them. Some people have even gone as far enough to list them as childish, which, you know, I don't completely agree with. I actually think they look better than the main ones, and rightly so, because it is a high feat in order to get one of these capes. So I got my eye on two of them, actually, but I'll talk about that in just a little bit. The particle effects, it's the same thing as the Dungeoneering cape, actually. Same overall template, and, you know, I gotta say they look really nice, especially with the new lighting in RuneScape and everything. So I'm going to have to give Jagex a full 5 out of 5 on this update for making them just look so nice, because I actually saw some in person, in-game, when I recorded this week's supplemental. So,
did they have any new animations?
No, you know, they got all the same animations and they got the same hood. It's mainly just a different way of showing what's going on with your character at that point, because remember, these are just a quick little thing that were provided by the RuneScape Ninja team. So it just goes to show that, you know, the Ninja team can do interesting things. They have wide powers, but they don't have the ability to create full updates. It's, I guess you would kind of put them on a different tier of maybe like RuneScape Godhood or something like that, where they're one of the lower tiers compared to someone up top who, say, Mod Mark would be a tier 2 god, along with Osborne and some of the others, whereas the Ninja team would probably be down in tier 3 or tier 4. So, Anyways, that's the best analogy I can probably give on these. So, are you going to be taking any skills to 104 million or level 120?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Which ones?
Dungeoneering.
Oh, okay. Is
the
there...
rest? No.
Other than that, no?
No.
Okay.
No.
And I guess the main reason you're wanting to take Dungeoneering to 120 is because they offer you, actual a physical cape and physical levels, right?
No, it's because in about 1 or 2 weeks, they're going to have double Dungeoneering XP and token weekend, and I'm going to try level as much as I can. I'm not going to reach 120, but hopefully I get pretty good. The only thing my little pet peeve is with is that, you know, it's the only one that you kind of have to level up to 120 because that's how it is. I have no plans to level any of the other ones to 120 at all, period. Not silch, zero, no.
All right. I guess now is probably a good time to announce the worst kept secret in RSBNB update history, that I am severely attached to the idea of having something to work towards once again in farming, and potentially Herblore as well. So you can take from that what that means, and we'll probably be kicking off something on the order of being called Project Green, the next generation. What's wrong with that?
Lame.
Why?
Lame.
Well, what would you call it instead?
Let's see. Project Gold Digger.
Because I'm going to need lots of gold to do it?
Yes, and you'll be digging for it, too.
Digging. Well, I mean, that is one thing that I have recently not had a problem with on RuneScape is finding gold, so I guess you could call it that, but I don't think it would be as much of a gold-digging operation as it would be to, say, take summoning or construction to 120.
God, can you imagine how many charms you would need to get there?
Yep. That's not something
nice
I want
money
to think
sink.
Of. That's not
it's
something.
It's a nice money sink.
Yeah, but still, like you said, charms. I don't know. Yeah, probably not on those. But all right, so you aren't the only one. You potentially might be doing is Dungeoneering, because that one actually goes there. I just released the worst kept secret in RSBNB update history. So
that's not the worst kept secret.
Oh, what is the worst?
Something to do with Pika.
Oh, dear. Right.
See?
Yes. Okay. Alrighty. So let's move on from that. And
no shame. We're going to have 90% of our listeners trying to figure out who's Pika.
Yes. Probably that is the case. Probably. So, this week, we also did a supplemental. One of the new forms of RSBNB update supplemental, in which we talk with a community member and get their opinion on an update. And this week, I sat down with Touchpad Pro, one of our community members, to talk about this update and his perspective on it. And it's a very interesting perspective to hear from somebody who has a whole swath of level 99s. Somebody who has 2 99s at the level 120 mark, being agility and fire making. Two very hard ones
agility
to get. Yeah, agility. Tedious, right?
Okay.
So, basically, Touchpad and I talked about for 10 minutes as to what this update means for the future of RuneScape skilling and some interesting ramifications that it brings around. And we stumbled across something that was very interesting, something that I'd not thought of before. And it's a true potential problem in the case of what he mentioned. So I'm not going to spoil that for you guys right now, but I will say that it has put me on the fence of one of RuneScape's first pulled updates late last year as to whether or not that might actually be a good thing or not. So just keep that in mind. And for anybody who wants to listen to this, you can just do that on the YouTube channel at youtube.com/rsbnbstaff and look for the supplemental called Something to Work Towards, since that is ultimately what these capes turn out to be, something to work towards in RuneScape. So,
okay, then. Something to work towards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's always good to have a goal.
Yeah, and I mean, these provide it. And the question is, do you need something at the end of the goal? Some people do, some people don't. I have been contemplating taking farming to 50 million XP for quite some time, and we'll just have to see how long this takes. And I mean, like I said with the first time around, this is not a project that's going to happen overnight. It's going to take a good amount of time. So we're not rushing towards it. It'll just be when we get there, we get there. So I got a question for you now.
Uh-oh. What's the question?
Does RS need these capes for giving something to players to work towards?
You mean like, you know, okay, if it's more of a cosmetic thing, like how they're having right now, I'd say yes. You know, some people have 99, all 99s, they want something to do. All right, go for it. You know, let them show off. But should all skills become 120 or 200 million experience? Like, no. It should stay the way it is.
Okay.
And my reason is a very selfish way, but I don't have the energy anymore to try and get to 120 million level 120 in fishing and cooking.
Yeah.
I got myself to 99. I'm done. I'm done. And, you know, one of the issues they're having is, you know, there's no supremely higher content about above 99 that you can use, that people can train on. If we've maxed out, you're supposed to get to 99, and that's it. And that's what the game kind of has. There's not like a giant one skill that you can do, one item that can get you 100,000 experience. Only one that can do that is Dungeoneering, and that's conditional.
All right. So now you bring up an interesting point of having skills and content past 99 that gives higher amounts of experience. But the thing is that if you bring these higher amounts of experience to the game, you will ultimately be just proceeding at the current rate that you are proceeding at, which isn't really fixing anything in the way the current game works. Do you remember back in RuneScape Classic how difficult it was to level things up?
Some things, yes. But then again, back then it was, if you could go undetected, you would just get an auto-clicker.
Yeah, well, let's not propose that, shall we? But the thing that I would be worried about, and ultimately the Touchpad Pro touched on, pardon the pun there, that was not intended, but basically when you get to higher levels and you bring higher level content in, the game's experience is just increasing at the same rate, and it needs to increase at the same rate in order to keep pace with the current demands of the player base, in order to expect the same rate of leveling as you go up, because some skills get slower as you level up, and I think that's a good thing. And some skills maintain the same pace, which is fine, but leveling for high-level content, such as these 120 capes, should be slower, to the point that this is something that only the truly dedicated will get, because it just seems so easy to get 99s these days. Or maybe we're just living inside the bubble, you know, because we have multiple 99s and a good portion of our community does because they're so much older. I don't know if that's a perspective of new RS players, because that they're just coming into the game, that whether it's easy or not, but that's something that I think these capes do, is they provide a harder goal for people to work towards.
Well, you know, here's the one other little thing is, many of the skills you really have to, you don't have to, but a lot of them you have to really buy to get ahead.
Yep.
Imagine summoning and how much it costs just to get to 99. Now multiply that to 104 mil.
Yeah, do that about 13 times.
Yeah, and so think about it. You're basically getting multiple 99s in one go.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, Shane, I don't have a bankroll that can support that.
Yep.
Many of our listeners do not. Those that do, well, they've been bossing since the beginning of time or flipping or whatever they're doing to make money. And,
I mean, see, that's okay. If you enjoy boss hunting, that's good. But to me, making money that way has never really been all that fun because you just get it. You don't need to work for it. And that's one thing that's really got me interested in taking farming and Herblore to 120 and reliving the old glory days, so to speak, is that I can do this a different way than I did the first time. So this time I'll do it in the self-sufficient manner where I don't need to spend a single penny. So that's what's got me very interested in this update. And I think at the end of the day, I'm going to agree with what Touchpad said in that it is something to work towards and there might be better solutions out there. They just haven't appeared yet. And like I said, you got to listen to this supplemental because it provides some very earth-shattering revelations about an update that we were very passionate about last year. So, I'm not going to spoil it, but you can probably get where I'm going right now.
Okay.
All right. So, anything else on that?
Well, if you're going for 120, go and have fun, and I wish you the best of luck. And for those of you who are like me, like, yeah, that ain't happening, good luck getting or staying at 99.
So, what do you think the new max is going to be? And when people say they're going for a max skill, or when are people going to do it? Is it going to be 99, 120, or 200 mil?
I will still say 99. Because, 120, it's one of those overachiever things. You know, remember, as of right now, there's no completion. A completionist cape does not require you to get 120 in everything. Only thing that leads you to 120 is in dungeoneering.
Yeah, and let's be clear that they said they will not be requiring that.
Yeah, can you imagine how broke people would be doing that?
Yep.
And so it ain't happen. Like, if they wanted to release an update to the completionist cape, by all means, go right ahead. You know, another cosmetic gear, they can make some money off of it. Go ahead. But, no.
Alrighty. Well, that is very good. I'm glad we got a chance to talk about that. So why don't you tell us about the combat improvements that we're so excited about?
Okay, so, number one, they removed the old action inventory buttons, the X and the C, which was default, and it just gave two extra spots into your action bar, so you can use that however you like, which is good.
Yeah.
Second thing is, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say that's what you and I were saying since day one. Need more slots.
Actually, I want one more skills, really. Number two is target info panel is now movable. Thank God. Because you and I know when we were fighting other monsters and whatnot, the action bar actually covers up the whole thing. So you're like, I can't see Jack. I can't see if it's using prayer, what prayer it's using. I can't see what's it doing or anything.
Yeah, I guess that's good. I didn't think of it in the huge boss sense, but I mean, if you're fighting something that's covering the better portion of the screen, you might as well just move it, to somewhere maybe above your buff bar or something like that. So I didn't see the point of that until you mentioned that, but good.
Yeah, if you were fighting someone who's using prayer, you would never see it because it's right on top of it. Number three, which one I like, Combat XP for PvP combat. Thank you, Jesus. Soul Wars is back. Soul Wars has now returned to its old form and glory. Shane, Soul Wars died because of that change. When PvP no longer gave combat experience, I went to Soul Wars thinking I'll just have a little fun, and I looked at it and was like, oh my god, this place is dead.
Yep.
And I found out why. So now, it's going to be fun. And
I got a
lastly,
question.
Which I think is... Yeah.
What are you going to do if Soul Wars doesn't come back because of this?
Oh, trust me, it will. If you can get experience while killing people there, it will. Trust me.
All right.
If Castle Wars can stay alive with all this... Soul Wars will have no trouble whatsoever. You know which one was Soul Wars again, right? Don't you, Shane?
Yeah, it's the one where we had to go fight Nomad, that area.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Oh, and always on chat mode. You forgot that one.
That is the dumbest... I didn't forget I want to be last, because that is the dumbest update ever.
I actually like that.
Why?
Here's why. You can turn always on chat mode on, and you don't need to press enter to type. And now, ordinarily, when you're just using Revolution, you don't need to press that many action bar buttons. So, in theory, what you can do now is, with your action bars, you can just say Revolution on, and then queue up the abilities you're going to need, and then when it's time for the thresholder and ultimate, you only got 3 or 4 buttons that you maybe need to click. So always on mode combined with Revolution just means that you need to use the keyboard less. You can use the mouse for combat, and you can just type straight into the chat box for chatting with people. So that is why I'm actually happy with always on mode.
I find always on mode more annoying for me, because I'm used to pressing some of the buttons as I am queuing things up instead of clicking. So having that on is just pointless for me. The only thing I keep forgetting to do is if you are willing to do, you can click on the minimize action bar button, and that would let me do that almost forever. That actually makes it worse for me. So I don't like having the always on mode on.
Okay. Update listeners, what do you guys do? You guys use always on, or do you use enter to type? Let us know.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. Well, that's combat improvements. We'll probably be seeing more of those coming down in the next coming months. So next up, the polling update for this week. The next distraction and diversion... Divination is still in the lead at 30%. That's good. It's the one I voted for.
I'm surprised you didn't vote for the farming one.
No, because, I mean, there's just things in the game right now, like the Livid Farm, that just don't seem very true to what farming should be. And I didn't like that when that came out. And we also already got something in-game, a mini-game called Vine Sweeper, that no one plays. And is in desperate need of rejuvenation.
It's Minesweeper.
Woo! I know. I
think the thing is that many people don't know how to play Minesweeper in the first place.
Yeah, that could be it too. So. Alrighty. What's our diamond pull for the week?
We have the Impling boost. Which either when you capture an Impling, you either get double drops or double XP, or I don't mind.
What did you choose?
What'd you do? Double experience.
Why?
Because double drops for me is pointless. Most of the time for double drops, you're just catching that Impling because it's right there, and usually it's for a low level. I don't think you want double eggs. So you might as well go. I voted for double XP because it's only there. It's like once in a while you'll grab it and go. You might as well get a little more experience out of it.
Okay. I voted for double drops, mainly because at higher levels you can get a good amount of things like dragon darts and dragon arrowheads and all that sort of stuff. And I mean, snapdragon seeds, lots of interesting things from dragon implings and whatnot. And I just think that makes more sense than double XP, because it, like you said, it, whenever you're going to be seeing an impling, it's not like you're going out to hunt that impling specifically, unless you're at Puro. So I just think double drops makes more sense for this reward.
Okay. I've voted for double experience. It just helps me more, because usually I don't care about the drops. I'm just trying to get Hunter up.
All right. And then the next one, the Ruby Poll, is more of a information gathering survey about how they highlight upcoming updates in regards, do we want a detailed schedule, general knowledge, update day info, a mix, or mystery updates?
I voted mystery.
Me too. Why is that?
Because we shouldn't have to know everything that's coming up.
I agree. And do you remember back in the olden days of RuneScape 2, in that the first time they started doing regular behind-the-scenes articles was for the Desert Month when Desert Treasure came out?
Okay.
And before that, each update was week to week. You had no idea what was coming out in the month. And, I mean, it kind of, it was kind of a more of a interesting thing. You know, you get home for the day, get home from school back then, and you'd go to the RuneScape website and see what the update was. And it would be like a surprise. It would be similar to those Christmas advent calendars where you don't know what the picture is going to be behind the little chocolate when you open it up. And that is why I chose Mystery Update.
Yeah. The thing with me is, what was it? Having a timeline thing is nice. It really gives like a definite end, beginning and end. It's like, I expect this to come out and we're on schedule, yes or no, which is always good. It's always good to have a really defined schedule. But, you know, you remember when player-owned houses came out?
Yep.
How much it shocked the entire game.
Yeah, I completely agree.
We knew it was coming out. We didn't know when. And then next thing we know, it was, ooh, it's out. Cool. And then they had a huge influx of new players coming into members. And then what was the other thing that happened? What was that other thing that happened? And like about a month later when someone got 99 construction and suddenly someone went on a giant massacre.
Oh yeah, right. The Felidar massacre on 6606. Yeah, that was a long time ago. And I mean, let me just dig something up for you guys right now. Let's see. I'm just pulling up the behind-the-scenes article for construction because it was very cryptic even in those days as to what was coming out. So, okay, here we go. Here's the way construction was mentioned at the beginning of May 2006. And you tell me if this sounds like construction. You ready?
Go ahead.
We will also be adding some smaller features to the game later this month, such as clockwork toys for your cats, teleportation tablets, making your own cups of tea, and even chairs you can sit down in. See, nobody thought it was going to be construction, because at the time, construction was an update that was so big, and we weren't expecting it to be so soon. It was at a mythical status in the same way that sailing currently is. And, you know, construction turned out to be true, and everybody was pleasantly surprised with this, and it was one of the biggest updates to RuneScape ever. And just having something like that dropped on your lap in the final week of the month without being told it's specifically construction was a nice thing. So that's also partly why I voted for this. And also because just as developers, sometimes you don't want to completely show your entire release schedule and whatnot. So that's my standing behind it. But, I mean, obviously, the other one is just keep everything as it is with a detailed schedule, and people have become accustomed to that, and they want that. So, I mean, in a way, that's good because, you know, we're not getting blindsided with a Grandmaster quest that we don't have the requirements for or something like that. So...
I was angry when the construction came out.
Oh, why?
It was the first day of I just finished my first semester of freshman year of college, and I decided to go volunteer somewhere, and it came out was the first day I had to go and volunteer. I was like, oh man. I was like, oh, I want to stay home and do this, but I can't disappear on the first day. That'd be really rude.
You just disappear into the Shadow Realm. Like,
even though what the Shadow Realm is, nope.
Yeah, Sasuke.
Sure.
All right. Well, looks like we're going to just be going the same way we are on that. So that's your polling update for this week. Nothing completely game-changing. So in the patch notes for this week, nothing major, just a couple of little interesting footnotes. Druidic ritual has been added to the list of requirements for one small favor.
Okay, that makes sense.
And the Bird and the Beast score interface has been removed from several tiles in Draenor Village. Considering that update went away in January, it's amazing nobody has set foot on those tiles and reported that as a bug sooner. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
RuneScape Road Trip. Slayer in Combat Weekend. You excited?
Yes, yes. A little bit, but not as much.
Why not?
Because I want Dungeoneering, man.
Well, that'll be later this month, so you'll get your chance at that.
Yeah, but then I have to kind of figure out, do I want to study or do I want to play? Do I want to study or do I want to play?
Do both.
It's like, can't.
All right.
Engineering isn't an AFKable skill.
Yeah. All right, so this weekend you will get double Slayer points, 50% base Slayer XP, expanded drop tables for the Kalfite Queen, Giant Mole, and Barrow's Rise of the Sixth. All charm drops offer an extra charm, so I guess two rather than one, or... two charms at the same time? I don't know.
So I recommend doing familiarism and get the double charm of drops.
So does that mean in theory...
four times the drops.
You'd be getting four charms from basic creatures for a short period because it's double? Or no, is it triple? It's triple. So yeah.
Okay, you get sextuple.
Yeah, wow.
And then definitely throw in something. A charm imp, and you're set.
Yeah, nice, good amount of time there at the water fans.
Well, actually, odds are it probably won't even work that way anyway.
Yeah, we'll have to see on that. Maybe we'll go kill some charm-based creatures right after we're done here. But I'm not on a Slayer mood right now, so I probably won't be participating this weekend. And double amounts of all rare drops, including the Ring of Wealth, doubles in effectiveness. So this might be a good weekend to attempt to get some Abyssal Demons and go get another wand or orb.
Mm-hmm. Actually, they're probably all packed.
Yeah, well, also the wand is down to 5.7 million and the orb is down to 1.4, so...
Oh,
I don't
know. It's 1.4, interesting.
Yeah, I mean, but still, 5 million for the wand, that's not too bad. So, okay. RuneScape road trip tasks, how many have you been keeping up with these? You done any of them?
Nope.
Okay. Here's the way it works. You can basically go into your little book. You get this book from the woman who you turn challenges into in Berthorpe, and you just ask her about the RuneScape road trip, and she'll give you this book. And then in this book, you set an active task, then you can just go out and do that task. You can do one per day. Now, Jagex has been doing a bunch of stamping sessions in various places to help people out who, say, might not have the requirements, nor might not be able to accomplish a certain task because of various circumstances. And these stamping things mainly take place on the weekdays at times where there are J-Mods around. And I will just say that these stamping sessions are hectic. They are very hectic. Mm. Basically, what happened on the first stamping session is they totally underestimated the amount of people who would come to these stamping sessions. And they thought going to the Varrock Square would be large enough. But, I mean, lo and behold, the Varrock Square can't hold 2,000 people and the entire population of a world, so it was very laggy. They had to immediately hold another stamping session at a larger place. This larger venue is the Lumbridge Crater, and that's where all of the have been thus far. And they doubled, or they tripled it from one world to three worlds. So, huge amount of stamping sessions going on, and it's much more efficient now than it was on the first day, just because they got two J-Mods at each location in three worlds doing it. So it's really not that bad anymore.
What were they... What's the whole point of this anyway?
Well, I mean, let's just say you have a task you can't do. Or let's say you have a real aversion to Castle Wars, for example, and you don't want to do that. You could basically open your book and say, request J-Mod assistance on one of these tasks. And then you go to a stamping session and that task will be automatically completed for you. So you can do that. And basically what happens is you go to these areas and you need to stand still or else they won't be able to get you. Because it seems as though you need to be in a certain area where they cast this aura, so to speak, that stamps you. I think they made it area, because on the first day they had to manually click people, and that's what took so long. The first day it took upwards of an hour standing there for me to get stamped, so definitely ironing out some bugs there. But nonetheless, it's a good thing that they're doing and that they're willing to go out there and sit with these people and, I mean, for upwards of an hour at a time, just click on people and stamp these passport books, so to speak. And for anybody wondering, this weekend they are happening at the Lumbridge Crater once again at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. BST. So that is 3 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Pacific that these things are happening. On World 36 for the earlier one and World 106 for the later one at the Lumbridge Crater. You can go there and get stamped.
Okay.
Also, social media challenges where if you have Twitter, Facebook, whatever, you can do what they want you to do on there. And at the end of the month, you also get a special reward there. They don't say what it is, so that should be interesting to see.
Oops. What is next? We have the Community Chronicles. Mm. You know, short stories and YouTube videos from Jagex and from other people. So come and take a look. We have one that is a Shadow Over Ashdale trailer and one little documentary of what he got from 1,000 Mithril Dragon kills. So,
oh, he's fine. Yeah, Ashdia. Specifically the player-made trailers, because they're just so good compared to what people create for other games, and it's really a testament to the community that we got going on here. So it's a very nice thing.
Mm.
Alrighty. So check out the Community Chronicle for this week. But there was another major update to the RuneScape Companion app. Have you had a look at this? Well, have you had a look at the RuneScape Companion recently? Update this week?
Actually, I kept the Companion Bank Checker.
Yes.
I told you I couldn't hear.
Really interesting.
See what you have when you're banking everything else. Well, I thought you tried it, didn't you?
Yeah,
you had
I did.
One before and you tried it.
It's very interesting because you can actually get information on the website now as to what's in your game, and this isn't something that Jagex has done before, and it just seems, pardon me, I'm just typing my password in because it just seemed to forget it, I don't know why, but it just seems very groundbreaking for Jagex to, you know, implement something like this and offer it to the community so quickly. And it definitely has interesting promise for the future, particularly because they say the next update that they're going to do is the ability to buy and sell things from the Grand Exchange and store them in your bank. I think that's going to be pretty useful. Like, say you're out somewhere and then you want to, I don't know, maybe sell, say you have a change of heart over some rare that you picked up, and then you just want to get rid of it right now, you can just dump it on the Grand Exchange. So that's good. I also let you check up on maybe, like, if you're a Grand Exchange flipper or something, you could use it for that as well. You don't need to log into game. You can do your flipping from on a break at work or school. That's nice. And I think that this opens up a whole treasure trove of future updates that we could get for this application, primarily with this new technology here. I think now it's only a matter of time before we start to see existing things come around, like player-owned ports, for example. That would be the real one to get in there, I think. I mean, could
that
you imagine
nice, yes.
if they converted, say, the black market assassin or the sea singer Umi into a mini game on your phone?
that would be fun.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm very excited to see where this is going to go. And one very good thing that they say is that they're working on native applications for iOS first and then Android. And it's going to have push notifications for Grand Exchange transactions. So that means as soon as your Grand Exchange transaction completes, you'll get a little notification on your phone. I mean, when you think about it, how nifty is that?
I'm waiting for the day that I can do ports on my phone and, I don't know, have a way to make money in the game while on the phone.
Exactly. And I mean, this is the next logical step. Take RuneScape to mobile, where you have things that benefit your character, but you play RuneScape on a mobile device. That is the way they can go on this front. It's excellent.
Okay.
And I just got to say one thing that I hope Jagex is doing that some people make the mistake of not doing when they convert a web application to a mobile iOS or polished Android application. Basically, with web applications, there is a perception that you can just convert a web application to a native iOS application because the technology already exists to do so. Well, the thing is, you can do that, but the experience is not all that great. For end users, you've really got to take it the next step forward and not use one of these toolkits to convert a web application to a native application. I hope that they're writing native code for iOS and Android. That would be really great. All right.
Okay.
You good with that?
Yeah.
And Treasure Hunter Portable Skill Stations. What do you make of this? Does it feel right?
They're little... I have two of them. I have the smithing one, and I can't remember what the other one was. But honestly, I think they're... The smithing one is definitely full of hoo-ha. I don't see people going like, oh, I need to smith something. Let me take this thing out. It's hoo-ha, you know?
What's hoo-ha?
Full of wind, full of air, full of hot
oh,
air.
Oh, okay. All right. Never heard that expression before.
Sure, let's go with that. Oh, you're not American. Anyway, yeah, that's what I kind of see. I don't see many people, like, you know, that whole thing with the smithing portable. Yeah, if you were maybe in doing Mithril dragons or some other metal dragons, yeah, that might be helpful a little bit. You know, you turn those things into bars or into bolts or something like that, make a little side cache. But most of the time, because you only use it one thing at one charge at a time, it's kind of pointless in a way.
Yeah. I mean,
I did get the potion one, though.
Oh, okay. That one sounds interesting, where it gives you water, vials, and more experience. So, like, I guess it's a nice XP boost, but something just does not feel right in having portable skill stations that can be won off a treasure hunter, which is not encouraging use of in-game training methods, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, that's just me, but these things are only a limited time, so I guess it's not really that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I don't think they're really worth that much. I mean, it's okay, but eh. It's
I got a portable range
today. Not something
today.
You would... Cool.
So, it's not something that you would use all the time is what you're saying, right?
No, I don't even see many people using it in an emergency situation. I think you will just use it just to take a look for a novelty and that's it.
Alrighty then. Well, yesterday was the 1st of May, I'm sorry. And, of course, we got a behind-the-scenes update. The RuneScape road trip we know about. Ancient combat with Zarosian abilities. I know you're excited about that.
Woohoo! Yes!
Ninja Dungeoneering, yes. A whole bunch of changes to Dungeoneering. How do you feel about that one?
They're changing Dungeoneering?
Well, they're just adding, I mean, small features to it on the order of ninja tweaks. It's not like they're...
Can we check what our floors are without having to be in a party? Could that be a thing?
No, you're going to be able to pay to skip floors, though.
Oh, that's good. Most people don't bother doing 1 to 29 anyway.
You're going to have a chaotic weapon, a new chaotic weapon?
Yeah. Oh, maybe the wand and offhand.
Oh, yeah, that would make sense, I guess. More skill scrolls, new pets named after dungeoneering creatures, an item collector in the same vein as the Bone Crusher, and they say dozens of nips, tucks, and improvements.
Okay, note to self. Time to start regathering tokens.
Yeah, you know,
Hopefully it happens during the double weekend.
Yeah, that would be good to have this update out for that. I know last night I just started up my sinkholes again, getting close to 90 Dungeoneering. Want to finish that off. Currently, like 290,000 XP.
Question about
away.
Those.
Hmm?
You know how in the game you're supposed to get a message if it's almost ready? You know that, right? How a sinkhole's about to appear, you get a message in the game.
Right.
Kind of like the demon.
Yeah. Okay, I know what you mean now.
Do you have to turn on broadcast, or do you have to turn on the game filter?
You need to turn off the game filter, turn on the game filtered ones to see that.
Oh, man.
I know, it's rather annoying. It'd be good if we could pick and choose.
Should have made it with the broadcast one.
Yep, I agree.
Oh, well. Okay.
Also this month, Ashdale repeated boss and choose your path armor upgrades. Elder Divination, I'm happy about that one. So high level divination.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Rocktail hotspot things that we were told about last month. That'll be good. And, of course, the usual Solomons and Treasure Hunter updates.
I saw them, actually. Hold on.
Really?
Let me check something.
I don't think they're in-game yet.
Well, I swear I saw. I guess they got rid of it for the time being, but I definitely saw one. Maybe Divine Locations? Is this the one?
Yeah, Divine Locations.
Yeah, 91 Divination to do the Rocktail Bubble.
Yeah, but that doesn't exist yet in game, does it?
I guess, well, it's in here, so I guess they haven't fully released it yet, but it's here.
Oh, okay.
Divine
Maybe...
Crayfish Bubble, too.
Oh, right. I'm thinking of something else. I'm sorry. Yes, yes. Those are in game for sure. I just got a little bit confused there. All right, good. Well, as I did mention, we did have a fully packed RS update section this week, so that's it for RuneScape updates. Let's take a breather. Okay.
Whew.
Questions. You can read it.
All right, our one and only question from Man. Hey guys, would extra player on post extravaganza at the end? I'm pumped. So, which of you mad May bonuses are you excited to grind? Oh, screw it, Shane.
Yeah, Shane? Don't do that.
I screwed up the accent, didn't I?
That's okay. That's fine.
I went from Australian to Indian in one go. Okay. So now that time finally caught up to on Continuum, I have once again say thank you, Shane. Amazing recommendation. And also, I better return the favor. Person of interest, have you seen or heard of this show? I have a feeling you may enjoy the show. It's all about government surveillance and all that kind of techie stuff. I'm sure you would enjoy. Anyway, peace out. Bring on Slayer.
Okay. Bing.
All right. All right, Shane, which one are you most excited about?
I'm going to have to say the skilling one, primarily because, I mean, like I said, I'm not doing any Slayer this weekend. I'm not that high of a fan of Dungeoneering. So. And I'm not really that much of a boss killer either. So I definitely got to go for the combat one. Or, I mean, not the combat one. the skiller weekend, and, I mean, just take advantage of that. I guess I'm going to be doing divination that weekend. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of why.
Okay.
I want that.
I'm actually going to go do thieving in the pyramid and hope for the staff.
Scepter.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's not too rare. When I did plunder from 71 to 82, I saw on average, I think about one of those an hour, somebody got one. It was just never me.
Not me. Yeah, not me either.
Yeah.
Maybe my luck will change.
Maybe. Maybe some of mine will rub off on you.
Uh-huh.
Personally,
I'm more lucky in RS than you.
Yes, that's true. That's true. And I've got the luck in the other game, don't I?
Yes, you do.
All right, so person of interest, I have not heard of that, but definitely sounds interesting if it's about a person of interest. get it?
Lame. Lame.
Oh.
Have
you heard of that?
Not really, no.
Well, haven't. I might need to look at it. But the main thing that I'll be watching on TV as of next week is 24 is back. Ooh. On Monday on Fox. So for anybody listening that was interested in 24, or even if you weren't, it is a high-paced
Jack
action
Bauer.
Drama type show that it's just really good, and it was away for 4 years, but they brought it back because I guess they never found anything as compelling to fill the time slot. So definitely looking forward to that.
Okay.
Alrighty, thank you, RR Man, for that. And that's all we got this week for questions. So we like audio questions, so if you want to send in an audio question, just email them to questions@rsbnb.com, or you can leave them in a voicemail on Skype. The username is rsbnbupdate, no spaces or punctuation. Or if you live in the US and you want to use your telephone, You can just phone it into our Google Voice number, which is 571-572-2632. Or better rephrased as 571-57-BNB. Alrighty, tech news for the week. So, Internet Explorer.
Yeah, first off.
Zero-day vulnerability. So, before we get too far down this path, I'm just going to say that this is the main reason why, even with Internet Explorer 11 and whatnot, and all the modern safety features on Windows 7 and Windows 8, you should not use Internet Explorer unless you are a high-tech, savvy Internet user who knows exactly what is going on with your system. Because it's 0 day.
Or you work for an organization that only uses IE officially and nothing else because you don't have a choice.
Well, in that case, then you really shouldn't be browsing things that are potentially going to infect you if you're just doing work, right?
Never know.
Yeah, you're right.
I hate it.
Anyways, this flaw affects all versions from 6 to 11, and basically it goes back to something that was patched long, long ago in Windows XP, but turns up to be causing more problems again. There's a little image file called VML, Visual Markup Language, or something similar like that, and basically what it does is that it allows a website to display a malformed VML image, and it will display the image, but it will also be able to execute code on your system. Which, I mean, by itself is not a big problem, but in the hands of an evildoer, it could end up causing you major problems on your system. So that's why it's called the zero-day vulnerability. You could just waltz on over to a website and you see something happen to you and boom, you're infected. So Microsoft did patch this week in an out of cycle patch. So this really underscores the need to have Windows Update turned on and run it and restart when you get these updates, because you do that, you're protected.
Or don't use Internet Explorer.
Yes, thank you for mentioning that. You know, not using Internet Explorer is one of the best things you can do to stay safe on the internet, because very, very rarely, if you use Chrome or Firefox, issues like this are not a problem to you. So, I mean, once again, just another reason to use Chrome or Firefox. And with this, I will say that Firefox got upgraded to version 29 this week and got what looks like a very nice user interface update. It's very nice. It actually looks a lot like Chrome, but...
Okay. Yeah, actually, there was a mass email at work today saying, we are working with Microsoft to resolve the issue. In the meantime, hopefully you guys do not use the internet for illegal matters while at work. It's like, you know, if they were, you wouldn't notice it anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess what you could do with this, theoretically, on an unpatched system, is you could say, download this code using the VML exploit, and then install something else on the system. And then with that, install a Trojan or worm, and then let's just say you made it a worm, you could theoretically infect other computers on the network if your worm was sophisticated enough. So, I mean, granted, though, this just seems like it's infecting a simple system. Depending on how elaborate this was in terms of infecting something, it could be very catastrophic. All right, so just be safe online, don't use Internet Explorer, keep your Windows up to date, and yeah, be safe. Alrighty, you want to tell me what Google did this week that lots of people are going to be very happy about.
Google search app adds reminders for where you parked your car.
That's good.
Oops, wrong button. Really? I didn't even know they added that.
Yeah.
Let me see. Where am I? Oh, that's not where I am.
Well, I think it...
Let's see.
I think it would have to be with Google Now, wouldn't it?
Google Now?
Yeah. Because...
No.
I mean, it would know if you're at home and it would know if you're at work. And you would have to be out and about traveling somewhere. And it would have to detect that, you know, you're not at your usual location. And then it would have to assume, okay, this person's moving at the speed of a car. Should we ask them if they want to know where they parked? And that is how you would set up a Google Now card in that way, or at least that's how I would do it. But I could definitely got to say, when you live in a city of a million people and you got lots of people out on a Saturday, or maybe you're in a new city that you don't know of and you're, say, at a shopping mall or something, and you don't know exactly which door you went in, you can actually be guided. The ability to be guided to where you parked is a good thing, and it's amazing Google or somebody hasn't thought of this sooner.
I'm sure somebody has. Can't be that. I'm sure someone third party has.
Yeah.
Let me see.
I mean, the thing with third party is that you need to remember to turn it on. Whereas with Google Now on an Android, it's always just sitting there in the background, casually reminding you of things as you go about your day.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think this is going to be very interesting, and definitely going to look forward to playing it once it gets ported over to the Google Search app on iOS. Alrighty, and final piece of tech news this week isn't exactly tech news. It's more of a glimpse into my world of technology and what I find interesting and where we could potentially be going. Now, anyone who has listened to the show before will know that I use Apple products. I have a Mac and I use an iPhone.
We know.
But one thing that I still say to this day is that Microsoft has the better vision of the future. They have the better research department. It's just the implementation and timing falls short on their part. And the reason I say this is because this week on a Microsoft research blog, there was an example posted of a keyboard that features typing, as we do nowadays, hover, so you can hover over the keyboard and perform gesture type things like you would do on Kinect or something like that, and it also features swipe. So it's basically a keyboard that can input in three ways. And this is just very interesting because...
I give it a finger.
How old is the keyboard? Do you know when the keyboard was invented?
Typewriter.
Yeah, ages ago. And to think that we're here
1800s.
In 2014, pecking away on keys that are sending an electrical impulse to the computer to make certain things appear on the screen is just ludicrous to me. The problem
is
we don't have a better way of going about that yet. And yeah, that's true. I invite everyone to watch this video. It's really, really great seeing what you can do with this form of input, and All you need to do is combine it with an LED screen, like a virtual keyboard, and you've effectively got a form of input that's more
keyboard.
Advanced than they had in Star Trek.
Actually, you know, little side note that some people may or may not know, when the current keyboard, the QWERTY keyboard, the way it was invented and the way it's oriented, it was designed to be as inefficient as possible because for those that actually are old enough to remember back when the typewriter days, you had little things that would actually jump up and strike the paper and thus making the ink. Well, the problem was if you actually did it efficiently, you would actually cause them to get stuck. because you know, most of the words are not, you know, if they were to go about better together, you have to type them so fast that they actually jam up, and you have to clear it off, and that takes time and can be painful, and you can damage the machine. The QWERTY keyboard was invented because people typists who were going so fast would jam up the machine, so why did somebody had to make it so they actually slow down just enough to let the keys reset?
Exactly.
So that's your now you know for today.
And I mean, this just goes back to how, you know, rudimentary the keyboard and the mouse are. I mean, it's just pure craziness when you think about it. So.
Oh, you're such a nerd.
Well, I mean, it's true. You know, honestly, what do you prefer interacting with more, your phone or your keyboard?
Honestly, I still prefer a physical keyboard. And I told you before, if that phone that I wanted, if that battery life was actually better, I would have gotten that one. That one has
the one
a physical,
with the physical keyboard.
Yes, I prefer a physical keyboard. You can do whatever you want, Shane. I always preferred it. I always type better with the physical one than screen one.
I mean, I am typically the trailblazer in terms of peripherals and whatnot for using stuff and getting stuff around. Mm. And I will just say that right now I have 3 pointing devices on my Mac that can be used.
Actually, I remember about a decade ago, a small company did a prototype of the keyboard where they actually put it in alphabetical order. Didn't go so well because so many people were gotten so used to just the QWERTY keyboard after so many generations. And the other thing was, I know Razer, how they reinvent laptops and everything else, and how they really design for gamers, and how the LED screens can will change depending on the setup of the game and everything else. So, you know, it's really interesting to really see how far we can push the keyboard and then, you know, LEDs and everything else. But, it's expensive.
I mean, at the end of the day, I've written before that you can come up with the best form of an interface, whether it be a keyboard or a web interface, and it's a natural thing. You'll have people that just don't like it for one reason or another. And this is a well-known thing in interaction design, that you cannot just, you know, tear something out from the underpinnings of people and have it work in terms of an interface. You need to be able to explain and provide a logical transition to the new interface and point people in the right way. It's just human nature for the vast majority of people to prefer their old input devices. And, I mean, at the end of the day, this is what you need. You need a keyboard that can see, you can touch it, and you can press it. So, hoping Microsoft will ultimately have some sort of a prototype out in the future of this. I remember watching videos for the first Surface before it was even marketed to restaurants and casinos, but it is what it is. Definitely read this and watch the video. It's very nice. Alrighty, that's it for tech news. You want to share this big skill of the month shocker?
What's up?
Have a look at the April skill of the month, how that ended.
Oh my. This is interesting, to say the least. Someone had a little way too much time on their hand at the last second.
Yeah, so what happened here?
It was rain, wasn't it? Yeah, it was rain. So my guess is someone grabbed a ton of bonus XP and went to them Champas. Or maybe they did PvP.
Went to Soul Wars. This was before the PvP update came out.
Ah, damn.
So Yeah, huge, huge spike. Someone gained 15 million experience in a single day, and that was BXP Prod. Ended up finishing first in the skill a month with 18.3 million experience. A distant second was Metal Maniac 9 with 12.8, and third was Parnassius with 10.1. Definitely a shocker. Never seen anything that substantial before. So you can really see this if you go to the day-by-day graph and just, wow, pretty amazing. So hats off to you for winning. And, you know, this is the second month in a row that we've had a major shocker in the last couple of days. And I am just so proud of that, that people are taking Skill of the Month to the competition that it should be. So good job all around, everyone, and especially to our top winner, BXP Prod. This weekend will be interesting for the Slayer. I almost said Sclair, Skill of the Month, with the increased Slayer XP and all, because currently Bletherskite has 1 million XP gained and is in a quick first place there, so it'll be interesting to see what goes on for the rest of the month here, but I have no doubt that somebody will end up catching him eventually in this regard.
Okay. Good luck with Slayer. Today's Slayer weekend, so who knows? It'll be interesting to see what happens next week.
Indeed.
Next up, and last but not least, we have Achievements of the Week. And we got only one 99er this week. Beltherskite, who got 99 Divination on April 28th. I'm going to kill those dogs.
Okay, well, congratulations on that 99. That's a 99 I'd like to get one day. Good job. And I don't know where the dogs come in, but we'll chat about that after. And now I'll just remind everybody that you can head on over to the YouTube channel /RSBNB staff to find the supplemental with Touchpad Pro, something to work towards in regards to the Master Skill Capes. A very, very interesting discussion with him, seeing he has two of them currently. And he provides a clincher on one of last year's proposed updates. So, very good. Indeed.
Okay.
So I believe you have a pick of the week for us.
I do. It's it is called Make It Rain, Love of Money. It's an Android iPhone app. And I was really bored one day, and I was browsing through, like, see what's new in the Android market. And I saw this. It's one of the new top games. I was like, all right, give this a try. The concept is very simple, yet it can be somewhat addicting because you're trying to make as much money as you can, and you're trying to make it rain. And in California, we need the rain. But anyway.
So what does it mean by make it rain?
You toss money into the air, make it rain.
Oh, okay. I see.
Yes, and that's what you kind of do. You try and make as much money as you can, and so you're swiping it, swiping the screen to basically throw money around and make more money by doing it. It's quite interesting.
Right. I was going to say, so I mean, you don't have to, like, throw your phone in the ceiling or anything to, like, throw the money up now, do you?
Of course not. You're good if you want to. It ain't going to help. And so you're basically trying to outscore yourself by, you know, seeing how fast you can swipe the screen. And there's a little counter on how much money you're making every second. It's, you know, it's relatively stupid. It's really simple, and yet it's you know, it's one of those things that you can waste time with, and like, if you get the annoying little brat just like, here, make money for me. Okay, my hand's getting tired. My hand's getting tired. Like, oh, it's okay, you can keep going. Try use the other hand. Hey. Imagine Uncle Dano one day getting Andrew's bugging him, was like, here, son, make money for me. Ooh. The way they make money is there's some, obviously there's some so it's microtransaction where you can get more money, buy money, make it faster, and once in a while you can actually get the FBI to come get you, and you depending on what you roll in the game, and depending on what you roll, you can you'll either get lucky or you'll have to give them some of your money, and yeah. You know, it's one
of
those
things. Is that the game in the background?
Like, you're just, me tapping my screen? Yeah. Whee! It's like beating an egg. Think about it. Just think of that. Yeah, you're basically making the same motion. And what's stupid, Shane, here's the stupid part. Well, we were in class before class started, and I just downloaded this in class. And I'm swiping the screen like a maniac, and all my other classmates on the side next to me are like, we're all laughing because this is such a stupid thing. But I gave each one the fun, and they kept swiping the screen. It's like, you can't stop now, can you? So it was completely stupid. But you know, you can make it like a little, you can make a little competition between you and your friends. Like, see how much money you can make me.
And it's, I wonder it's a, if it it's a good... has Game Center integration on iOS for that.
I don't know. I'm thinking just pass the screen around. And one thing you can always do is... Oh, wow. That's a lot of money. Didn't know I could do that. One thing you could always do is... It's a good arm exercise. Your arm gets tired. Yeah.
All right. That sounds good. I'm getting it right now.
Okay. Give it a try. Mike thought it was stupid, but I said, yeah, it's pretty stupid. But if you stay in there a little bit longer and actually... you know, get some money rolling on the side. It's actually quite interesting.
Yeah, and I mean, at the end of the day, that's what a game on a mobile platform should be. It should be a time waster. That's fun, right? Just like that's mm-hmm. what that Flappy Bird thing was.
I never bought over Flappy Birds. I think it was stupid.
Yeah, neither did I. But
you know, the thing is that like. A lot of phones now are those like civilization-based games, and it's like, I don't want another one where I have to, you know, really do pay-to-win kind of thing, because you know how most of those games are is pay-to-win.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really annoying, because usually what the issue with those is I actually have to do a lot of mental thinking and figure out and time myself and everything else. I was just looking for a game where I can just like have fun for 30 seconds and be done with it for a while.
You got a
See,
bucket.
I heard it. Yeah, it's something different. Whee! Make it rain, Shane. Make it rain.
All right, I think that's enough of that.
And, you know, there are like three buttons on the bottom. One is to make more money while you're away. One is to gain more money per swipe. And one is a way to fill your money bucket.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and of course, the last one is basically buying some of the stuff, some of the microtransactions. Yeah, that's how they make money. And you know what's nice? They don't have, you know, annoying ads. And I was looking at the requirements. There's no marketing GPS stuff in it, which is good. All right, Shane, come back to the podcast.
All righty. So next up, what have you been up to? Or I guess I'll talk about what I've been up to. Well, aside from exercising my thumb right now, this week on RuneScape, I have been just finishing up the divination goal and getting 95 divination. So that is complete. I'm going to take a bit of a break. From divination, you know, it was a long time going from 90 to 95, and it was at the desert area, which was rather annoying. So just having a bit of a divination break currently. Might end up trying the 95 to 99 spot, but we'll see. Haven't made any decisions if I will end up going for that or not. But as I said earlier in the show, I made the decision to pursue 104 million XP in farming, so I will be getting started on that shortly. And that actually resulted in me taking a trip to Herblore Habitat, which is actually one of my least favorite updates in RuneScape, just because I mean, it just feels so annoying, you know, having to set everything up and then, you know, yeah, sure, you have to go hunt things and whatnot. I like the integration of hunter and farming. I just don't like, you know, that you got to change so many things for it to be set up. So just getting some of those farming potions to maximize profit on the herb runs. But aside from that, I haven't really done much RS-wise this week, just ports and whatnot, and sitting down in the Jadinko Lair, only 200k XP away from 99 strength now. And that's really something you can't avoid, because you got to do combat in order to get things done in this game, and you can't...
You could always switch to something else.
Avoid getting 99s eventually. So, anyways, that's what I've been up to. How about you?
I ended up getting 97 Slayer this week, which is good. Wow. I've been doing a little bit of agility, but I just felt like doing Slayer, and I just did it while I was doing other stuff. Thank you, Yellow Bars. And did some agility, trying to get the agility top, which I'm semi-close to getting, but still a ways to go. And yeah, I decided to have a new mini goal. I am going to try and get 91 in everything.
Oh, good.
Which means I need to get 90. I need to get 91 in, I need to get 91 in divination. I need to get 91 in farming and fletching and hunter.
Everything you asked me. Agility. You asked me about the farming, earlier this week, what I'd recommend. I would say that your best way of going about this is to do herb farming runs and then determine how much profit you can pull in a day. And then after that, how much you're willing to lose. And then decide if maples, yews, or magics are in your budget. So that is how I would approach that. I assume you already do the kingdom and whatnot and get the seeds from there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there you go. That's,
I'll wait till next month.
That's the best way of doing it. And that's pretty much the way I will be pursuing farming to 120, provided we don't have a farming skill of the month come up where I need to devote sufficient resources to it.
Oh, and I've been doing ports. I've been pretty good right now. I managed to hire... managed to lay off and rehire some new crew members from the new area, from the last area, using the Zura charm stuff, the little gemstones. And I'm slowly switching those out, and I'm still looking for three new captains.
Oh, good.
That will take time. Yes, that will take time. And I'm debating the best way to organize all those people. So that will take time. But I got one captain, which I absolutely love, because he literally has 1,000 in everything. He's only level 7.
Oh, wow.
His morale is 1,800 right now. Seafaring is 1,140. Combat is 1,075, and speed is 700. It was like, jeez, you're my new favorite captain.
What's his name?
So, yeah. His name? Captain Walter Teach.
Oh, okay.
And I have another one, which is pretty good so far. Not as good as him, but decent. He is Captain Da Vile Boney. Okay. I didn't make up these names. Jygax did.
All right, so, yeah, well, I am done, unless you have anything else you need to mention.
Enjoy May, have fun, stay cool, and good luck on all finals if you're still in there.
Alrighty. Well, we'll see you next week, everyone. Have a good week, and remember to check out those stamping sessions.
Bye.